you please turn with me in the Word of God to Romans chapter 5 for our scripture reading, Romans chapter 5. Be reading the first 11 verses. This is God's Word. This is God's holy and inspired Word. Please give your attention now to the reading of it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Reading the entire chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let's give the Lord a prayer. Our Lord and our God, we do thank You for Your Word. We do pray, O Lord, that we would love Your Word. We pray, O Lord, that we would be a people of the Word. We do pray now, Lord, that we would humble ourselves before Your Word, that we receive it as it truly is. And we do pray, Lord, that Your Word and Spirit would have its work in our lives. May we see Jesus. May we know that He is our hope and our salvation, and that He is our only comfort in this life and in death. This we do pray in His precious name. Amen. One of the issues that the Apostle Paul addresses in the letter to the 1 Corinthians is that of spiritual pride. Some at Corinth had become puffed up. We have tongues, prophecy, faith, gifted, wise, knowledgeable. That's who we are. Such a stance had led to boasting, even division among the body. In reply, the Apostle Paul's saying, before you get carried away with just how great you are, let me ask you this. What do you have that you didn't receive? You see, everything you have comes from the living God. Your gifts, Corinthians, they come from God. Your activities are empowered by God. There is a variety of service, but there is the same Lord. Why then, are you acting this way? Why are you boasting in this manner? Why are you dividing the body? And why aren't you loving? Why aren't you loving one another? It's good for you. It's good for you to desire the better gifts. But let me show you the most excellent way. That's how the 12th chapter ends, which leads up to our chapter this morning, the 13th chapter, the so-called chapter on love. Now, this is a familiar passage. And it's being so familiar, however, is why I wanted to preach on it for you this morning. Because we run the risk of hearing it so often that we take it for granted. When we're at a wedding, when we read it devotionally, when we see it on a card. You see, when we hear these verses, we are never to isolate them from Jesus Christ. And yet that's often what we do. We often think of these verses in the abstract. But that's not the love that's in view here. The love that is in view here is tethered to Jesus Christ. It's love that centers on Jesus Christ, is found only in union with Jesus Christ. Love is the more excellent way because Jesus Christ is the more excellent way. But the reverse is also true. If you don't have Christ, then you don't have the love that Paul is speaking about here. Now that's what the Apostle Paul is about in this 13th chapter. And to make his point, we see him at the very beginning, starting with a series of hypotheticals. If I had the gift of tongues, he says. In other words, it's Acts 2 all over again. You remember what happens at the day of Pentecost? Everyone is speaking in these foreign languages and they're understanding all that's going on. If I had that, if I had the gift of tongues, if I could speak in the language of angels, there's no such language. But let's say there was a language. If I could speak in the language of angels and I didn't have love, then I would just be a noisy gong. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy, that is, if I understood every mystery in Scripture, if I had the faith to move mountains, that is, if I had the faith to bring the world to an end, if I had these things and I didn't have love, these gifts are worthless. If I gave away everything I had to the poor, if I delivered my body up to be burned, if I was martyred, if I have not love, I gain nothing. So you see what he's saying? Love gives meaning. Love determines worth. Love determines value. The great theologian Augustine put it this way. Love and do what you want. If you're silent, be silent in love. If you cry out in love. If you chastise, chastise with love. If you spare, spare with love. Your acts will not go astray if they are accompanied with love. And yet at Corinth, that's exactly what was missing. They were acting without love. And without love, so says the apostle, that which they were boasting about, it's worthless. Unless the gifts they possessed were used for the benefits of others, there was no value there. For love considers the other person first. And that's what we see the Apostle Paul laying out starting in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It seeks not its own. It does not insist on its own way. Love thinks no evil. Love doesn't dwell on the wrongs that others do. It bears all things. Love is not impatient. Love is not malicious. Love believes all things, hopes all things. You see, it's better to be taken in by someone because you believe the best of that person, you love them, than it is to be suspicious of that person from the beginning. Love is to be the controlling power in all that we do. So verses 1 through 3, it's not just that the absence of love ruins everything, but then verses 4 through 7, there's to be the priority of love in all that we do. And that especially in the church. Apart from love, the peace and unity of the church will not be preserved. But neither will the purity. For it's out of love that we speak to the brethren about sin. We are to lead with love. Or to lead with love. As we interact with one another, we are to lead with love. But friends, that's just another way of saying we are to lead with Jesus Christ. For when you're talking about love, you're talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ. To expound love is to expound Jesus Christ. And that's really what's going on here with this text. As a matter of fact, look at these verses. And substitute Jesus for where you find love. Substitute Jesus Christ for where you find love. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but have not Jesus Christ, what am I doing? I'm just producing meaningless noise. If I have prophetic powers, if I understand all Scripture, if I have all knowledge, and I have not Jesus Christ, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not Christ, I gain nothing. You see what he's saying? You can possess any gift. You can have any talent. If you don't have Jesus Christ in this life, those gifts and those talents are of no ultimate value. It's Jesus Christ that determines value. It's Jesus Christ that determines worth. But if you have Jesus Christ, you can be without everything else and have every good thing. When he's talking about love here, he's talking about Jesus Christ. And that's why grammatically, it's all in the indicative mood. Now, the indicative mood, so says J. Grassam Machen, makes assertions in distinction from commands or wishes. So you don't have imperatives here. You don't have commands to follow. You don't have subjunctives here. What you have are indicatives. Because in talking about love, he's making assertions. He's describing what love is. And in describing love, he's describing Jesus Christ. Look at it, verse 4. Jesus Christ is the one who's long-suffering. Jesus Christ is the one who is patient. Jesus Christ is the one who is kind. Jesus Christ does not envy or boast. Christ is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He's not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Jesus Christ rejoices with truth, believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He's talking about Jesus Christ. But let me go further. He is not talking about Jesus Christ in the abstract. He's talking about your Savior on the cross. He's talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If there ever was anyone who walked the face of this earth who could be justified in being puffed up, was Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. But what does He do? He comes not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He humbles Himself. And there you get to the root of the matter. Why does Jesus Christ humble Himself? Because He loves us. He has loved us from all eternity. And He continues to love us. And He will love us for all eternity. Jesus Christ loved us so much that He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. It's the cross, friends, that demonstrates the perfect love of God. And that love that's come to expression in our lives, it must always be rooted in Jesus Christ. It must always rest upon the foundation that is Christ. That is why verse 8 in our text, love is greater. Love is greater than prophecies which will fail, tongues which will cease, knowledge which will vanish. Love never ceases because Christ never ceases, never fails. And it's that eighth verse. It's that eighth verse that tells us, that points us, that these verses are pointing us to Jesus Christ. Because we don't love like this. Our love fails. Someone doesn't do what we want them to do, we get irritable in a second. Someone does better than us, we become resentful. We're not patient. In our hearts, and even in our lives, we're not kind as we should be. We read this passage and we're exposed. Apart from Jesus Christ, we don't love like this. We don't get our own way and we become rude and irritable and resentful. Calvin says, we are naturally too devoted to ourselves. And what happens when things don't go our way? We complain. But not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who goes the other direction. Jesus Christ loves, and He loves perfectly. No greater love has any man than this. And He laid down His life for His friends. That's what the beloved disciple tells us. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice of our sins. 1 John chapter 4. Do you understand? Where is our boasting? In our gifts? In our knowledge? No. It's only in the cross of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, if Christ and His cross is our boast, if Christ is where our life is found, then love must mark us. If we're joined to Jesus Christ, if we claim Him by faith, how can it be otherwise? How can we be without love for one another? Now, that should strike us more than it does. But I want you to turn this around and think of it in another direction. We're joined to Jesus Christ by faith. Jesus Christ has ascended and He lives at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ ever lives praying for us right now. Friends, do you think that He is without love? Do you think that you are joined to a loveless Savior and King? What would be the good news in that? If Jesus Christ was loveless. But He's anything but. And He's the one in whom our life is found. So we're not to think of love here in the abstract in 1 Corinthians 13. We're to think of Jesus Christ and to think of Jesus Christ and His cross. But we're also not to think of loving the brethren in the abstract. Loving one another is not easy. Loving one another in the church is not easy. We say things that we shouldn't. We do things that we shouldn't. We hurt one another. And then we worry and fret. We get angry and mad. And then sometimes we even stop trying to love one another. Now, there are times when we, particularly when we say that person is so upset with us that we're totally mistaken. We've totally got the wrong picture. But even if we're right, even if that other person's upset with us, even if that other person isn't treating us as he or she should, that's no excuse not to love. You see, friends, here's the difference between the way the world loves and the love that is biblical. The world says, I will only love you if you're worthy of my love. That was the distinction that the ancient Greeks made. You would give yourself in love for that which is inherently good. The biblical notion of love is seen in the cross of Jesus Christ because we were anything but inherently good when Jesus Christ died for us. We read the verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God has shown His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the biblical definition of love. God loved us when there was nothing about us to love. He loved us when what we deserved was His wrath and curse. And that's informing then our text this morning from 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have had for all eternity. And it's the same love that's now been extended to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. We are to love. We're to love our God. And we're to love one another. And you know what happens when you do that? When you go out of your way to love your neighbor, to love those around you here, it softens the heart. It's like when you pray for one another. Do you know how much it softens the heart when someone says, I'm praying for you? All those little annoyances and other things that we can get so wrapped up around, they evaporate. That's the way love is. Loving one another softens the heart. You see, we are to be imitators of God as beloved children and to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. That's the more excellent way. That's the life to which we're called. That is what the Apostle Paul here is pressing the Corinthians about. They said, well, we have all this knowledge. We have all these gifts. We have everything we need. And Paul's saying, you don't have love. They got it all wrong. May that not be the case with us. May we be a loving people. For as the Apostle Paul also says elsewhere, being new creation in Christ Jesus is expressed in faith working through love. That's what counts. Loving now as you will love your Savior for all eternity. Loving now as you will love the brethren for all eternity. That's how Paul can say then, love endures. It never fails. It's because it's rooted in Jesus Christ. There's a permanence to love because there's a permanence to God. So now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. What a message for our church. We're probably known as Orthodox Presbyterians as much as any Protestant church for our knowledge. Are we known for our love? You see, in the covenant, they go together. What good is the one without the other? We're to be a people of the word, and we're to have a passion for the truth. But we're also to show forth the love of God. For when we were sinners, far from God, our Savior died for us. Now, undoubtedly, there are many false readings of this passage. And one is to make love the sole attribute of God. That is a false reading. Our God, the living God, is also a God of holiness. He's also a God of righteousness. He's also a God of justice. He's also a God of judgment. You see, the great irony surrounding us in Christendom is if you just make God a God of love, the result is a sentimentality that doesn't understand love. In other words, if you reduce God to the sole attribute of love, and if you make claims like, well, God would never do that because he's a God of love, then you truly haven't understood the love of the Bible. For you see, if there's no accountability, if there's no judgment for our sins, then Jesus Christ doesn't have to go to the cross. But the Bible tells us clearly that it's the cross where the love of God is most fully seen. Love, holiness, justice, judgment, they all go together in perfect harmony in our God. So knowing this to be true, how can we not love one another? And in a fashion that's unlike the world, we are to love in a manner that doesn't hold anything back. We're not to hedge in our love, we're to give ourselves fully. But in doing that, we're to know that that's what our God has done for us. Your God, the living God, did not give himself to you in a half-hearted way. He gave you his Son, his only begotten Son. He's given you his heart, his whole heart. What you're called now in the covenant is to give yourself back to him, not in a half-hearted manner, but your whole self, loving him with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is what the Apostle Paul's about here. And this is often what he's about in his epistles. He says in Galatians that he would have us serve one another in love. He says in Romans chapter 13 that we should owe one another nothing except love. We could go on and on. But friends, this is the more excellent way. This is the life that you have in Christ. This is the life that you're called to. to love one another as Christ has loved you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, please be gracious to us. We know how selfish we can become. We know how focused upon the things of this life we can become. Oh Lord, work in our hearts that we might always behold you in your glory, and that we always might know the gift that has been found in your Son. And may we love as he has loved us. Oh Lord, this is the life to which we are called. This is the life for which we were created. Oh Lord, help us, oh Lord, not to become bound up in the worries of this life, those worries which choke and those worries which strangle, but rather may we know, oh Lord, that we have been set free from the tyranny of this world, from the tyranny of sin, from the tyranny of death. We have been set free in Jesus Christ. And having been set free, having been made new creation in him, may we love. May Grace Church be known for its love of Christ and its love of one another. May we be known as a church that loves. And as others ask about the love that is seen in our lives, may we give witness to Jesus Christ. May we give him all glory. May we say from the heart that this one is our hope and our salvation. He's the one that we love. Because he is the one who has first loved us. This we do pray in his precious name. Amen. Let us sing in closing hymn 434.